Hello, everyone. You are listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast presented by Great Railing. I am Jordan Hall, and as always, I am joined by the wonderful Taryn Hatcher and the dynamic Joe Fordyce. Joe, Taryn, a long and daunting and busy Monday for the Flyers. They have moved on from Elaine Vigneault, firing the head coach in the morning, along with assistant coach Michelle Therrien. Mike Yeo is taking over in the interim. And then on top of that, the Flyers lose their ninth straight game with a 7-5 loss to the Avalanche. Really tough times in Flyers land. Taryn, I will start with this. Was it the right move to move on from Vigneault right now?
Yes. Okay. My answer is yes. I kind of was surprised it didn't happen last week, to be totally transparent. I do know what Chuck Fletcher was saying and what he meant by what he was saying about, you know, there were a lot of games on the table this week and there were a lot of opportunities to earn points this week. And if they could turn it around, he wanted to see it happen this week. And when the first game went as poorly as it did against Tampa on Sunday night, I kind of think his hands were tied there because it's hard to imagine things getting better from that, especially because I don't know. I could be just seeing things based off of, you know, the things that you hear and putting it together with what you're seeing and this, that, and the next thing. But it just really did seem like there was such a disconnect on the ice from what he wanted the team to be doing and what his goals were for the team and what the team was doing out on the ice. So like Chuck Fletcher said in his press conference yesterday, it was pretty evident that some kind of new voice was needed to try to get something else out of these guys. And the timing sucks, if we're being totally honest, because it's in the middle of a back-to-back, A, and it's in the middle of a 5 and 7 day stretch, 5 games and 7 day stretch, B. So, I was a little surprised more so that it didn't happen when the Flyers had those 3 days in between games prior to the Tampa Bay loss. But I thought once the Tampa game played out the way it did, there was really no choice but to do something, whether it was Therrien or Therrien and Elaine Vigneault or whatever. And I think the one thing that you look at from this and you hope that it's a positive that they can lean on in the interim is that Mike Yeo is a voice that the players like. He is a coach that the players will play for. I do think that we saw some of that last night. Colorado is a very good hockey team, which can't get lost in all of this, but kind of will, and I understand why. And so I think Chuck figures, you know, if I got to make a change, this is what I'm going to do, and I have to do it now. And that made sense to me. So, again, the logistics of it all kind of surprised me, and they are crappy, but you can't keep losing points. So see what the Flyers can do here tomorrow against the Devils. But, yeah, I wasn't all too surprised and thought that it was better now than later when it came to making some kind of drastic move.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Yeah, Jordan, I would say the thing that I would agree with Taryn that I was a little surprised on the timing, because going into that Tampa game, I think all of us kind of knew what was going to happen. That's not exactly a team to get right against. And I think things went worse than we thought they would. But I think we all kind of had an idea they were not going to beat the Tampa Bay Lightning. They were in a bad place, the injuries, and just the mentality and where the team was entering that game. I think we kind of knew what was happening. And so it was a little surprising that they didn't do it, like Taryn said, when they had that 3-day break. But that said, once that game happens, I don't think you have a you can't let him coach another game. I don't care how many games and how many days you have. It just can't happen because this kind of stuff is it will wear on the players. And, you know, it's – look, they gave up another touchdown last night, so it's not like it got better last night in terms of defensively. But there were aspects of the game that did look better last night. They scored a power play goal. They scored 5 goals in a game. I mean, these are things that didn't happen. Again, they gave up a touchdown, so by no means am I saying this was a good game by the Flyers, but it was a different game. You saw Morgan Frost really flash on that on the shift where he set up Giroux's first goal. There were some things to take away. If you look back at the previous few games, I don't know how many things there were to take out of those games that weren't negative. And when you make a coaching change and you have Mike Yeo come in as the interim coach, you have no time to really do anything before the first game. You have to get – I feel like you need little puzzle pieces to put together. And I think the Flyers got a couple little puzzle pieces last night to start to fit together. And hopefully it can build into something. So, you know, they had to make the move they made yesterday morning. And we'll see where it goes from here. I mean, let's see how they look against the Devils, you know, with the second game under Mike Yeo. And then, you know, you have your first – I understand the Devils are a road game, but you have your first real road trip with the back-to-backs over the weekend, Arizona and Vegas. So, you know, let's see how that goes and see if they can get any more of those kind of puzzle pieces to fit together and see if they can get things headed in the right direction.
Well, and you guys can tell me if you disagree with this, but I felt like the Flyers – I mean, honestly, probably all 8 of those losses – not all 8, but like the last 5 of the 8 losses prior to last night's loss, they looked lost in the game. There was no puck possession. The power play had poor entries, couldn't keep the puck in the zone, couldn't keep the puck in the zone at even strength, looked lost defensively at times, the whole thing. Last night, I thought they looked like they got beat by a better team. They did not look altogether lost all the time. Like, I would say the five games of the 8-game losing streak, maybe 6. I'd have to look back at the actual schedule and break it down game by game. But there were games where there was just so little offensive zone time, so few scoring chances. The power play was such a negative point, such a momentum-sucking part of the game that you just felt like this team is lost and they can't find the North Star if you point it out to them. And last night, you didn't get that. They had puck possession. The power play looked better. They had the power play goal. I thought it was – as soon as I saw the move from Mike Yeo to put Oscar Lindblom on the top line, I thought that is a great move by Mike Yeo. I remember talking to Scott Gordon after Dave Hakstol got fired about Oscar Lindblom and resetting Oscar's mentality and how good he can be when he has confidence behind him if he loses it himself. All kinds of stuff like that. And I felt like you saw so many of those things addressed last night. Was it a great game for the Flyers? No. As Joe mentioned, they gave up a touchdown. They allowed 50 shots on goal. There is still a lot to fix. But when we're talking about puck possession, energized offensive plays, creativity, license to be creative, these are things we have not seen in weeks. And it looked like the Flyers weren't going to find it. And they found some of it last night. And I know Colorado gives up a lot. Colorado also scores a lot. So the 7 goals, it's inexcusable, especially because it happened on back-to-back nights. But that back-to-back was going to be an incredibly difficult back-to-back, even if this team was playing well before that. And then they were not. So to Joe's point, they got beat. They did not look altogether lost. And I think we saw 2 weeks, 2+ weeks of a team that looked so lost. So you wonder if you can find yourself even more. The whole chat beforehand from Giroux was about finding identity. You wonder if you can find your identity a little bit more after a game like that, because there was nothing from the games before that to build an identity off of. Nothing, nothing. There were bad parts that you would say, we don't want to do that anymore, but there were no building blocks. Last night there were building blocks, which is not enough. Like, I'm not sitting here trying to deem a moral victory. It's not enough. They need points. They need to actually win games, especially against teams in the Metro. But it was nice to look at a game and go, there's some things you can build off of here, because it's been so long since we've had one of those games.
It really has. And it dawned on me just how wild it is that one game can really make or break a coach in his tenure. Obviously, the losing streak got Alain Vigneault fired. Where the Flyers are got Alain Vigneault fired. But a lot was put into that Lightning game, that 7-1 loss. Chuck Fletcher said, after watching that game, I felt we needed to make a change. So it's just kind of crazy how the Flyers have a 2-1 loss, or maybe they win that game. What could that have done for the Alain Vigneault area? Maybe the Flyers go on and they salvage this season. It was just kind of crazy to me how one loss, a loss like that, gets people fired, and it makes teams look for change and look for.
Do you think that if they win that game, AV? I don't know. There's a little bit of speculation here, but it's not speculation based on like absolutely nothing. The feeling around all the writers and everything that we talk about and everything that we know is that at some point there is a disconnect between AV and this team. And it became apparent last season. There were rumblings about it at the end of last season. And then it sort of showed itself this year on the ice also. Do you think if they win that game and he stays head coach that there's an inability to reconnect whatever disconnect was there? Because I kind of didn't.
I don't think that they would fire a coach after a win, but I think it would almost be like, okay, let's wait till the next time
they
played really bad and then we'll fire him after that.
I agree with that.
Optics, you're probably not going to fire a coach after they beat the two-time Stanley Cup champions, but it's almost like delaying this inevitable conclusion that everyone knows is coming. And you know, you guys both mentioned the skill of these two teams that they just played. I mean, last night you watch the Colorado has three lines of players that can just absolutely snipe the puck. And I mean, the first few goals last night, a couple of them was like, who was that guy? What was that? I mean, I'm not speaking of Landeskog or Kadri or those guys. I'm talking more about
the Eric Johnson shorty Newhook. Or Alex Newhook.
Alex Newhook.
Nate McKinnon's doesn't have a goal, but they still score 7 goals. And you're like, that's the Avalanche. Like, they can do that.
Yeah. And you know, Taryn, the other night on postgame, you pointed out, I think it was in the Lightning game, and it might have been the last goal that Tampa scored, when Carter Hart just fired the puck out of the net after it was in.
Yeah.
Maybe it might have been the goal where he came out and tried to play. Yeah.
It was the fifth goal. It was – Flyers were – PK – power play? PK. Were they? It's all bleeding together, guys. And he came out to try to play the puck. Misplayed it, they scored. And I'm sure part of that was internal frustration at himself, but part of that is, and it's a concern, and I brought it up on a lot of shows. People talk about last year being a horrible year for Carter Hart, and it was, but it didn't start off horrible. It got horrible right before that outdoor game, I would say, and then that outdoor game just broke everyone, and it got bad. And there was the COVID hit in the midst of all that also. And that's what scares me, is when this team's given up a 50 burger in terms of shots on goal and 7 goals 2 nights in a row and 18 goals, I believe, over their last 3 games. So you're averaging 6 goals per game given up at that point. You do start to worry about any goaltender getting away from themselves to overcompensate, especially because, I mean, God bless the guy, but you look at like the one turnover Keith Yandle had last night that led to a goal, and you're like, how as a goaltender do you play that? And those things kind of, those defensive breakdowns aren't altogether uncommon at the moment. It's just, and you worry. So at least now, I think hopefully if the Flyers can continue to feel like they can be creative and that puck possession versus chip and chase is maybe the approach stylistically as well, that maybe they'll get some run support. But Jordan, I don't know about you, but to me, it didn't seem like it was just a new voice. It was a new voice encouraging a different style that seemed to impact last night's game, from my opinion, from where I'm sitting and watching.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
No, I think that's fair. I think Mike Yeo is going to implement some of his stylistic preferences, how he wants them to play. I do think there are similarities between him and Elaine Vigneault in terms of tough to play against, forecheck-oriented, possession-based type of game, all that fun stuff. But I do think he'll make his tweaks. But I felt like it was mostly just a wake-up call. Claude Giroux called it a wake-up call. I think when guys of the caliber of Elaine Vigneault and Michel Therrien get fired, it is a wake-up call. And I think it re-energizes players. I think it tells them, hey, we need to get this right. We don't want other people to lose their jobs. We don't want players to leave. So I think all that kind of comes together, and you tend to get a much better effort. So it is weird to say a 7-5 loss. The Flyers did take steps, but, I mean, that's where the Flyers are. They're in a 9-game losing streak, and they were coming off a 7-1 loss. So you know what? A 7-5 loss, there was a lot of positives, I think, to take out of that. Joe, I will go to you here, and I want to get Terrence's thoughts as well. Could Mike Yeo be the guy? Could Mike Yeo be the guy moving forward long-term? Do you think he has a shot to win this job, or do you think they'll go elsewhere?
I think they'll go elsewhere. I know the Rick Tocchet, John Tortorella, those are names that are the hot names out there. I think they will go in a different direction because I think they need a little something a little bit splashy here. I don't think this is just about X's and O's. I think they need something a little splashy. Either of those guys would be splashy. So I think it'll need to be that. Now, that said, they're on the hook for $12.5 million for Elaine Vigneault. So I don't think it's out of the realm that Mike Yeo coaches the rest of this season. So, I think that's definitely a possibility. I think a lot of this will depend on if they're playing with energy, if they're giving themselves a chance to win games in the near future here. I think that will determine some of the urgency with what the next step is, whether it's Mike Yeo or somebody else. And, we all think, an Olympic break coming up in February. Whether the Olympic, with the health concerns and all that, whether that happens or not, there will be a break there in January. So
February.
I kind of feel like there's a there will it'll be a test up until that point, and then they have a little bit of time there where they can make possibly make a decision. So I do think that that's a possibility, that that's the way this plays out. We'll see. But I think it eventually will end up being someone else. And they'll look for something splashy, which, as I mentioned, a Tockett or a Tortorella would definitely be that.
Yeah, I feel like that could be the case too. And Taryn, I want to get your thoughts. I know some people might look at Mike Yeo and they say, oh, well, he's just from Chuck Fletcher's past. Like, is that what he's going to go with? I don't think that should be the thought among the fan base. Mike Yeo, I think, is a qualified guy. Look at his track record. He's done some good things. He's won a Stanley Cup as an assistant with the Penguins. He's a very good interim coach right now. Perfect, I think, guy for right now for the Flyers. And I wouldn't count him out losing this job. But, Taryn, how about you? What do you think? Outside, or do you think Yeo has a chance to win this thing?
I think realistically, and I really like Mike Yeo. Like, he's a great guy. I think he's a great coach. I think you look at his track record immediately after taking over a team, and that should give you some optimism, particularly what he did in St. Louis when he took over. But realistically, I think they're going to look elsewhere. To Joe's point, I think they're going to look to make a splash. I think that, look, it's on top of wanting to win hockey games, which the Flyers need to do, and which personally I care about because I got to go talk about the hockey games on television and I would like to watch a winning product. There is also, like, it's also a business. And I think that the ownership, front office, people are going to want to bring in a name that they feel like are going to put butts in seats to watch games and make people believe they can win. I don't think everyone is overly aware of Mike Yeo's track record, right or wrong. And his track record is pretty good. And I think people, Tortorella and Tockett are big names. They're both on national broadcasts for hockey right now. That just is something that resonates with people, A, as them being big, legitimate names. And Rick Tockett is the ultimate Flyer. We talked about it during the Hall of Fame induction, you know, 7 Ways to Sunday, which I think plays on the nostalgia of people, and people think he could get this team going and they want the team to be tougher and this, that, and the next thing. And they feel like Rick will be able to do that. And Tockett's very publicly a big accountability guy. I was talking to Scott about this last night. He was like, you know, the thing with Rick, or the thing with Torts, is he'll bench you. He doesn't really care who you are, what front office people say, what you say. He's Mr. Accountability. He doesn't care about any of the outside noise. He's implementing things the way he wants to do it. And I think people know that, and they want that from this team after seeing them struggle, after seeing the team, you know, I hear all the time, this team has been mired in mediocrity for the past 10 seasons because they make the playoffs and then they miss the playoffs and they make the playoffs and they miss the playoffs. And if they make it to the second round, everyone's excited because it has happened so infrequently over the past decade plus. So I think people look forward to the idea of like a Torts really coming in and laying the hammer on this team and trying to right their ship. But to Joe's point, again, the Flyers signed Alain Vigneault to a 5-year, $5 million per year contract. And he made it 2.5 years. So if you divide that by two, they still have $12.5 million to pay him to, you know, do whatever he's doing. So it'll be interesting to see if they want to go out and splurge on one of those moves right now. And it'll be interesting to see if Mike Yeo is able to lead this team in a positive direction, what their approach is then. Because when Mike Yeo took over St. Louis, I think they won 22 of their first 32 games under him as interim head coach. And then he led them to beat the Wild in the postseason. So you wonder if, like, he can do something similar here, how this plays out. But I just think long term, they're going to look at the resume and the name power of some of these other guys who are available. And it's real hard to pass that up. So it will be interesting. I think Mike Yeo's track record is underappreciated, but I just think that when it comes to trying to re-energize the entire franchise and the entire fan base, they'll probably look elsewhere at some point. Just because Tockett and Torts are two names that move the needle kind of like across the NHL as well.
And I will say this too, Jordan and Taryn, if Mike Yeo were to go on and do that and lead this team to the playoffs, right now, a lot of people are probably saying, who's Mike Yeo? What's he all about? If he were to lead this team out of this kind of abyss right now into a playoff spot, I don't think anybody will be asking who Mike Yeo is anymore. So it's almost like Mike, if he is going to be long for this job, he needs to build the resume that people don't know that he has, or kind of feature it. Whereas the other two guys have their resume built in already. Mike Yeo has to make people realize what he's doing now and what he has done prior to Philadelphia. But if he makes the playoffs, I mean, considering where they are right now, it would be, and you know, Mike's been on the other side of this too, where he started a season, was relieved of his duties, and Craig Berube took over as the interim head coach, went on to win a Stanley Cup, and obviously has been the coach ever since. And that interim title is something that people probably don't even remember that was attached to Craig Berube's name in St. Louis. So, you know, guys have this in these situations, they have to almost prove their worth, even though they've already worked several years to do that. It's like you have to re-prove yourself. And I think that would be what Mike Yeo is tasked with if he is long for this job in Philadelphia. Outside of that, I think they go to try to make a splash.
Well, and I just think the hard part is that even if he proves himself, if he gets this team to the postseason, if he gets them through a playoff round, that is still so much. There's so much to compete with when it comes to Tockett's legacy here in Philadelphia, which was built up over decades, and Tortorella's legacy all over the place, which, and the shame of it is Mike Yeo is a coach that Flyers fans should like. He's a great guy. He's tough. He's very no BS, but he's like, he almost reminds me of like a Tockett, but who's not from, you know, who doesn't have quite that like East Coast attitude to him. In that he's got sort of this loving way of being no BS with his players. We've seen it before. Like, he can be tough on guys, but he does it in a way that's like, I'm doing this to try to make you better. I want to make this team better. I want you to succeed. The whole thing with Oscar last night, he said, I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to put you on the top line. I don't know how long this is going to last or how often I'm going to do this, but I want to give you this opportunity. It's yours to take it or to lose it. And that's very Mike Yeo. And I think it's a coaching style that Flyers fans could appreciate. The fact of the matter, again, as I said before, this is a business. We know the franchise wants to put butts in seats to watch games. And I think the name Tortorella, the name Tockett, the legacy that comes with them automatically move a certain needle, a certain distance. And Mike Yeo has a very uphill battle to try to move that needle the same amount to make people believe in him as the leader of this team. And that's going to be the hard part for him. That being said, I mean, there's no saying he couldn't do it. I just think it's so hard. It's going to be very hard for those people in charge to look away from the bright lights of the names Tockett and Tortorella, especially because it's already become such a discussion piece. It's already been so talked about. Like, can you imagine Rick Tockett back in Philly with his hands on this team? Could you imagine John Tortorella, you know, with his hands on this team? You know, it's already become such a topic of conversation that it's a little unfair that I think Mike Yeo is already getting lost in that conversation a little bit when he very well could. He has the pedigree to maybe do something with this team. So it'll be interesting. Jordan, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, very similar to your guys's. I do think Mike Yeo has a shot to win this, but he does have to do something somewhat special with this team in terms of turning it around, getting it to the playoffs, maybe winning a round. I know that sounds crazy right now, but that I think is something that he would have to do. But I do think the organization will look for something of a splash. They're going to want a name that maybe pops, because right now the organization and the fans, I think, do need to be revitalized and re-energized. And a great way to do that is by getting a head coach, a brand name head coach, or a brand name player. So right now they tried revamping the roster over the off season. It hasn't really produced results yet. So what's the next thing that you could possibly do? Go out and get a big name. And of course, Rick Tocchet has a ton of Philly flair. People love him here. John Tortorella, obviously, big time past. I will say with Tortorella, I do think he's a good coach and I understand his pedigree, but Alain Vigneault had a very similar aura to him of accountability, presence, toughness, demanding, and people loved it at first. But that type of stuff can sometimes grow stale, I think, among the fan base and among players. Like, some of those coaches have shelf lives, and I feel like Tortorella is one. So, but I think don't be too quick to fall in love with John Tortorella. I think he's a guy that could certainly come in here and do something pretty well. But that stuff does sometimes grow stale, and I wouldn't rule that out here. If I had to pick between the two, I guess I'm saying I would like to maybe see Rick Tocchet, just because I think his connections to Philly, understanding this city, understanding the players, I think would be pretty unique and pretty. I think it could benefit the Flyers.
I think it would make for a fun pre and post game show with lots of sit downs with Rick Tocchet. Also,
yeah, right. Like, it really would. I know. I know you and Joe would absolutely love it.
I love Rick, but I do wonder about. I do wonder about Tortorella with this team. I don't know. I know what you're saying, and I do agree with it. Like, it's. I think he becomes a little bit like black licorice for people. Like, it's pungent, so you're either very in on it or you lose your affection for it very quickly. But I think the thing with Tortorella, I think, is that he reminds me of so many of like my friends' parents growing up who were like really strict. Like, he reminds me of a lot of people I know from this area. I mean, so does Rick, and I think a lot of people here would love that. But to your point, I do think at some point it is a lot. But I also, Scott's insight on it is, if he ends up getting hired here, we'd have to bring Scott back on this podcast, because Scott's insight on it is, and Scott said, he was like, I would have loved to have him when I was like in my 20s, because he said it would have shaped my perspective, I think, a little different on how to approach the game and the league and everything. And he had him as an older player, and he was like, at that point, it's a little tough because he's really hard on his older players, and literally hard on all of his players, but it's harder to make those changes as an older player, I should say, to fit what he wants. Where was I going with the sentence? I totally lost. This is what's happening. But he was like, but still, he was one of my favorite coaches to play for, and he got the most out of me even at like 35 years old. And I don't think we've seen the Flyers get the most out of any of their, especially their stars right now. We haven't seen the Flyers get the most out of Sean Couturier, get the most out of Travis Konecny, get the most, out of, it's unfair to say Kevin Hayes because he's not really fully back yet, but they haven't gotten the most out of those guys for a few seasons. I would be really interested to see how Torts could try to pull that out of people. But we'll see. I mean, we'll see. It could be Mike Yeo, and he could get the most out of everybody too. Who knows? Who knows?
And Jordan, I would agree with you that Alain Vigneault, his rep is similar to Tortorella's in terms of what he does with players. What I think Alain Vigneault didn't have is this, it feels kind of weird to call it charm, but this charm that would appeal to this city and the fans. In other words, Alain Vigneault is not a mean guy outwardly. And I feel like the second John Tortorella would call somebody out publicly or have a spat with a writer that he didn't like the question, not you, the present company excluded, what the fans would eat that stuff up here. Because back when Ken Hitchcock was the coach here, he was like that with a little less edge. And I feel like for a while, people loved what Ken Hitchcock did here. Only the thing with John Tortorella is John Tortorella could be an NHL head coach, or he could be like everybody, the guy they know from South Philly. That,
yeah.
Because he has that fire.
Yeah.
And that exactly. Sort of passion. And that is what Alain Vigneault didn't have. And I think if you know, like I said, people gravitated toward Ken Hitchcock for a while because he was very, when he was angry, you knew it. He said it. His post-game press conferences were very entertaining. He didn't have quite the edge Tortorella has, and I feel like that edge would make him such a favorite in this city. It would be fascinating to see, put it that way.
Flyers Talk is brought to you by Great Railing. Stop into Great Railing for the highest quality and lowest prices on all your railing, decking, and fencing needs. And not to totally knock Mike Yeo's experience, I will say he's got more experience than Rick Tocchet. I'm not trying to, you know, hit on Rick Tocchet, but Rick, I think Dave Haxtell's actually coached in more playoff games than Rick Tocchet. So, you know, I don't want to act like Mike Yeo's the most inexperienced guy of the bunch and he has no chance here. He's got experience and he's been around. He said it the other day, he's not a young pup anymore. So I think he's grown and I think he's pretty eager for his next chance. So we'll kind of see where this goes.
People don't really know. People in Philly, I feel like, don't really know Mike Yeo here because he hasn't been like a loud voice in the room under Alain Vigneault. I think Michel Therrien has like this whole reputation that precedes him. And we all know Lappy and we have a different relationship as a city with Ian LaPerriere when he was here. Mike Yeo never really tried, I think, publicly to be at the forefront of anything here in Philly. I've been fortunate enough when I was still on the road with the team to be around both Mike Yeo and Lappy together a lot with the broadcast crew. We would go out for dinners and Mike Yeo and Lappy would come sit with us, or we would have pregame coaches meetings and Mike Yeo would talk in a lot of them. I think the more Philly gets to know Mike Yeo, I think they will really, really like Mike Yeo if he doesn't win, I don't think anybody's going to like anything. So let me preface it with that. But if they start winning, when people see Mike Yeo's character, I think people will like Mike Yeo. He's very, he has a very kind of blue collar, logical approach to like a perspective on things. When he talks to you about hockey, it makes sense where he's coming from all the time. Like sometimes AV would kind of say things and he would allude about other things and you were kind of like, maybe he's doing that for that, but I don't know and whatever. Mike Yeo will just kind of sit down and be like, yeah, well, we're going to try this and it might not work. And if it doesn't, then I'm going to do this and that's where we're at. So that's what we're doing. I mean, and I think Philly appreciates that kind of honesty. And also he does it in a way where he's like, well, this guy's underperforming, so I'm going to do this here. You know, we're not playing well down the middle, so I'm moving Claude Giroux to the second line, putting him in the middle, see if we can't get Frosty and JVR going because we need JVR to score goals. We need Frosty to do more. Like, he will talk to you like that, and I think Philly appreciates that. I think they like to feel like this guy thinks that we are on his level and is speaking to us as if he's giving us the information that we want to know, and as paying fans, we feel like we're entitled to know. I do think with AV, there was a little bit of like, I'm the puppeteer pulling the strings. You guys will see how it plays out, when it plays out, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know that always played well with the media or with the team or with the fan base towards the end. So, you know, it'll be interesting. I'll be interesting to see how things go and what the reaction to Mike becomes, because I just think people here don't really know him yet. That's part of the uphill battle for Mike. I don't think people know not just his resume. I don't think they know him. And I appreciated his honesty in his introductory press conference when he was saying, yeah, I really didn't sleep last night. And I'm not going to go changing X's and O's, even though I know everyone wants us to change our style of hockey right now. I can't change everything. We're going to look slow if we do that. And that just doesn't work. I got to do this and I got to do that. And I appreciated that kind of transparency in terms of how he approached that press conference with us and that entire conversation, to be honest. And I think that's just how Mike is full time in my experience around him.
It's interesting. He's in one way, he's in a head start on a lot of people because Chuck Fletcher admitted that he's not conducting a head coaching search right now. He's just not. I'm sure it's going to start or it's going to be on his mind very, very soon if it's not already. But he's not currently like going out and searching for a head coach. Like, he just wants to be there for Mike Yeo and honestly get the Flyers to win a game. I think their focus is just winning a game and seeing if they can get on a run. So in one way, Mike Yeo has a head start. But as you guys both alluded to, he's also up against some big names in a daunting situation where he has to turn around a team now, whereas the other candidates possibly – are not coaching, maybe they're doing broadcasting. There's nothing really bad that they can do. Mike Yeo really needs to win the job.
So here's my thing, though, Jordan. I know Chuck hasn't reached out to anybody, and he said that he has not started the coaching search or whatever. I would love to know how many Flyers, alumni, people in an unofficial capacity, though, are currently, because I at least know a few who are just not like saying like, hey, would you come here? Would you do this? But like, who are like, hey, so sure you saw the press conference today. What are your thoughts to like Rick Tocchet and Tortorella? Because I'm sure their phones are just blowing up with people who are in unofficial capacities just being like, so what do you think?
Oh, 100%. I'm sure word gets around and people talk. It's like a circle, you know, like, obviously word gets around, it goes around, it travels, so people are going to be buzzing about
it. They're a clicky bunch of gals and they all chat, they all stay in touch.
Exactly. So I will, now that we've talked a lot about big picture, where the Flyers could be with their head coach, where is this direction going, let's get back a little bit to this season. Joe, do you think this season is salvageable? Should fans watch and be interested in this team possibly going to the playoffs? Is that not outside the realm of a possibility for you? What do you think?
Outside of the realm of possibilities? No, not at all. I wouldn't term it as likely right now, but there are so many division games in the second part of the schedule that the way that the NHL has this, the schedule set up now, and when I say now, I'm referring to 82 game seasons. They backload the division games. And I feel like the reason they do that is because you want to have most of your teams fighting for a playoff spot after the holidays. And, you know, unless you're really bad this season, that would be like in Arizona, Ottawa probably. But most of the teams are still in contention. And I think that's the reason you saw – now, the Blues went on a historic run a few seasons ago, but still, they were able to do it because they played Western Conference teams in their division. They were able to get those four-point games and those four-point wins. So I think the Flyers have a chance. That said, they cannot be giving up seven spots in games. They can't be giving up five and six spots in games. They need to definitely tighten up in their own end. Hopefully they get Ryan Ellis back and that helps in that regard. But I feel like that has to, if they can tighten up on the defense end, I definitely think they can do this. As long as they can and keep the goal scoring consistent in that they don't go 6 weeks without scoring more than three goals in a game, like they just snapped the streak of last night. So no, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities, but things definitely have to change. And when I say things, I don't mean the guy behind the bench. I definitely mean what's going on the ice for sure.
There's so much to explore in Valley Forge and Montgomery County, PA. Montgomery County is composed of charming towns and Main Street, each with its own personality, style, and unique vibe. Whether you are looking to get away with family or enjoy a special trip with friends, leave behind the stress of planning and use our guide to find some of the most amazing things to do. Explore which town and Main Street suits you best or visit them all. Visit makeitmainstreet.com to plan your getaway today. Taryn Hatcher, is this team going to the Stanley Cup? No.
Well, Jordan, thanks for that question. No. So I don't know about that because that's an absurd question. But I will say I was just checking the standings again because Al and I were talking about this the other day. Like the Metro, teams in the middle of the pack in the Metro are just giving away points against non-divisional opponents. So that helps the Flyers because even though they're kind of a cellar dweller right now, the middle of the pack is really letting them linger. They're only 9 points out of a wild card spot, and both teams that are currently in those wild card spots, the Flyers have 2 games in hand when it comes to both of those teams. So it's really not that far for them to try to leap here. I mean, it is considering the way that they're playing right now, but it's not an impossible hill to climb, especially if their goaltending gets kind of back to where it was when they were bailing them out of games and they get some goal scoring. But you have to beat the Devils this week. You have to win these Metropolitan Division games that you have coming up here because a lot of the points that the Flyers have given away recently, thankfully, were not – well, some of them were to Metro Division opponents, but some of them were to Western Conference opponents, like – teams where it stinks because you need the points, but you're not losing four, you're losing two. Flyers are going to start, like Joe said, they're going to start to be in games where if they lose, it's a four-point swing. It's not just a two-point loss here. And they have to win those, which I know goes without saying. But it's not impossible. It's not. And the Metro, aside from like the Canes and the Capitals, there's not super drastic separation. I guess the Rangers are up there too. So the middle of the pack has given the Flyers a lifeline here, but they have to take advantage of it. Which they have not. And they could, if they just go on a little run, a little bit of a run here, they'll be right back in the thick of things. And this whole conversation looks different. The problem is that little run really does have to start like on Wednesday. It has to start tomorrow. So we'll see what they can do because the points are so clumped right now. They're so close together that it's feasible that they'll make the playoffs. I don't know about a Stanley Cup final, Jordan. But to Joe's point, I mean, who thought the Blues were going to Stanley Cup final when they came into Philly that January, right? And Clojure said that the team did look at that and they are kind of using it, which I was surprised he admitted that. I thought he was going to say like, no, we're just focusing on ourselves. And he was like, no, I have thought about it. And I definitely have talked to the guys about it and that messaging and that it's, you know, it's possible to crawl out of this hole. And to get into the wild card spot, the Flyers don't have to go on that kind of a tear. They just have to play better hockey more consistently. But they don't have to go on that historic tear the way the Blues did, I don't think. So maybe they might. I don't know. Hockey's a weird sport, and who saw this? I mean, before this losing streak, we were talking about like, oh, what does it say about this team that they never lose 2 games in a row, and now here we are 9 games later. So hockey's weird. Anything can happen. And time's a flat circle. I feel like I'm in 2018 between the quarterback controversy and a coach getting fired on Monday and – you know, I'm still trying to digest some of it, Jordan, to be totally honest. So your question about Stanley Cup final really threw me for a loop.
I did not mean to do that, but you answered it perfectly in my opinion. And yeah, like another, I think players a lot of times, they try to like grasp onto things. And a lot of times it's the history when they're in these spots of like, okay, well, we've seen it happen before. We did it that year. So I don't blame players for thinking like that.
Yeah, I mean, Drew mentioned the 10-game losing streak and making the playoffs. He did mention it, and I think you can't rely on that, but it does probably help you when it comes to, like, getting a little bit of hope.
100%. And one that I can think of, 2018-19, the last time the Flyers fired a coach midseason, Dave Hackstall, they were in worse shape. They were deeper in the season, calendar-wise and game-wise. And at one point, they came within, I'm almost positive on this, they came within 4 points of a playoff spot well before like the end of the season. Like, they were on a nice run. They were 4 points within a playoff spot. They
were eliminated from the postseason, I want to say, with like 2 weeks left on the season. There were like hardly any games left. But they were battling until because I was on the road with the team that season, and I remember it very vividly.
Yeah.
It was the end of the season. It was so exciting. They went on an 8-game winning streak in like February, maybe.
Yeah.
Something like that. They went on a bit of a tear, and they got themselves right back into striking distance. And it wasn't until, I want to say, the last week and a half or 2 weeks of the season that it was like mathematically impossible that then they kind of dipped off and guys were just trying to stay healthy at that point. But that season felt like it got off to a significantly worse start than this one. It might just be because it was kind of hostile with the Hextall of it all. But that season, they weren't as far out of it as people, I think, thought that season shook out.
Yeah, I feel like this team's better than that team too. I mean, that team went through 8 goalies. So
they sure did, Jordan. They really did.
So, you know, this team
I did a lot of interviews about it. I remember it frequently. Yeah.
So I think this team's in better shape, at least personnel-wise. And again, being earlier in the season, getting this change earlier in the season behind the bench. So I certainly think it's possible this team can make things interesting, flirt with the playoffs, or make the playoffs. I really think Ryan Ellis is still the guy that stirs the drink for the Flyers. I think he's the most important piece that needs to get back. To me, Alain Vigneault's tenure very much went downhill because he didn't have two top pair defensemen. He had it in year one, and they were pretty good. Year two, he only had one, and then this season he had two for only 4 games. I really think that was a big reason it did him in. And if they can get Ryan Ellis back, they have two top pair defensemen, and they are much more like the 2019-20 team, in my opinion. So
I love what Al always says. He's like, man, the way we look back at Matt Niskanen and now the way we talk about the return of Ryan Ellis, you'd think either one of them were Bobby Orr. And
I'm like, yes. Yep.
That's the impact they've had on this team. And that's the impact their absence has had on this team. Wild.
I know, like Travis Sanheim even said during the off season when they remade their defense and they got a Ryan Ellis, and he just said like veteran guys do have a presence to them where it feels like you just feel like they're going to calm things down when you feel like the waters are kind of getting stormy.
And I think Provorov needs I know he's gripping the stick extra tight, but I've always thought Provorov needs a stabilizer next to him. He does. Because he's so good when he feels like there is another backbone in the building. Otherwise, I think he feels like he has to be everybody's backbone and he has to do everything. And that was the value of Matt Niskanen. That is the value of Ryan Ellis. Even if he does nothing else, if he just provides some extra stability in the building, I think it makes Provy a totally different player because yowza, you know?
100%. So, you know, I'm not predicting a playoff team, but I certainly think this season's far from done. I think Mike Yeo's a good guy, and I think this team has players that care. I do think Ryan Ellis could be pivotal. So if the Flyers are in just okay shape, like decent shape, head above water somewhat when he gets back, say, around late December, maybe January 1st, and if he can stay healthy, I think he could suddenly flip the switch for them. But we'll see. We'll definitely see. It'll be fun to watch. It's never a dull day in Flyers land. I think we can both agree with that. But Joe Forrest and Taryn Hatcher, this was fun. Thank you so much as always. We're all dealing with the busyness of this. So great to see you guys. Really appreciate you taking the time. And catch Flyers fans. Catch pre- and post-game live with Taryn Hatcher and produced by our very own Joe Forrest. 3 games in 4 days coming up. So they will be covering it all. Ben Berry, our podcast producer and guru, big thank you to you as well. And Flyers fans, as always, thank you for listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast presented by Frank Grimm. Wherever you get your podcasts, please rate and listen, and we cannot wait to talk to you next time.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers. hunt for muddy puddles and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.